open in your Bibles, if you would, please.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Open in your Bibles this morning. Hallelujah. Are you there? Oh, you don't know? I thought you operated in the gifts of the Spirit around here. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1 in the Bible, if you would please, this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. I thought you had better spiritual discernment than that. You're supposed to know where to go. Amen? Pardon me? You had one of four choices on this text sign this morning. Amen? How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things visible and invisible? You believe that? That Jesus Christ is the creator of all things visible and invisible? Amen. Are you there in Colossians chapter 1?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the creator of all things visible and invisible. He's the creator of all principalities and powers, thrones and dominion. Amen. Everything visible, everything invisible has been created by Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning about why Jesus created you. Why Jesus created you. Look right here in Colossians 1:15. It says that Jesus is the image. Oh, you'll want to circle that word right out of the starting gate because you're going to want to know what that means. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That word image means he is the outward bodily image of God. You want to know what God looks like? He looks like Jesus. Amen? You want to know what God looks like? Jesus is the outward expression of God. You want to know what God looks like? You want to know what God looks like? Look in the mirror. He looks like you. Amen. I know that goes down hard in some people, but it's what he looks like. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not the Wizard of Oz. He's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He looks like you and me. He's just made of a higher materiality. Amen. We'll talk about that as we go. He's the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. God's son. Amen. First one to be birthed into God's family. Now I know this will go down hard on some. I'm going to share it with you. We won't talk much about it today. But we will talk about it more in the future. But Jesus wasn't God's son in heaven. I said Jesus wasn't God's son in heaven. The Bible says in Acts 13:33, this day I have begotten thee. Jesus became God's son in the flesh on earth. In heaven, he was an equal part of the Trinity. He still is. But now as a man, then he wasn't as a man. He wasn't God's son in the flesh. A lot of people don't like that, but it's true. Amen. That's why he said, this day I have begotten thee as my son in the flesh. The day Mary gave birth to him. Actually, the day that the Holy Spirit put that seed in her womb. That's when he became a living, breathing human being. His son. Amen. So, we'll talk more about that some other time. Got plans for that. Amen. Look in verse 16. Jesus is the creator of all things. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible. He created invisible things. Well, things you can't see, but things that are in heaven of a higher materiality. Amen? Invisible things have substance. You just can't see them. And he created them. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and all things were created for him. Say, that'd be me. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. He not only made you, he keeps you alive. He sustains you. He protects you. He provides for you. He gives you breath. He causes your heart to pump. Amen? He created you. Hallelujah. Now, throughout our lives, we're going to have, on occasion, opportunity to question the existence of our Creator Jesus. Everybody's done that. You question the existence of God. Amen. That's what the fallen, unrenewed human mind does. That's why we need to stay in the Word. Amen. Satan's going to constantly, over the course of your life, going to challenge your faith and tell you this from time to time. Even the strongest believer has to deal with thoughts that come from the devil that this Jesus stuff really isn't true. Amen. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 to cast down every imagination. That we have to constantly be on the alert and ready to cast down every wicked, vain imagination and every high and lofty thought that would attempt to exalt itself above or against the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. We need to be constantly on guard, be alerted, casting down theories, casting down reasonings, casting down false religions, metaphysics, sublime doctrines, philosophy, in all or any of the world's make-believe disciplines. They're all deception. Amen? We believe in Christ. And we preach Christ in Him crucified, because we not only believe that He does exist, but we do believe that He is the creator of all things, whether they be principalities or powers, thrones or dominions, visible or invisible. We not only believe He exists, we believe that He is the creator of all that exists, whether we can see it or not, and we believe that He is our creator. Don't we? Hallelujah. The evidence of God's existence far outweighs the evidence of His absence. The evidence of God's existence far outweighs the evidence of His absence. One more time, just because it's so good. The evidence all around you of His existence far outweighs the evidence of His absence. You might not be able to see Him, but He's here. He's in me. He's in you. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27 says, is your only hope of glory. Amen. A farmer raised his son to believe in Jesus. He grew up, teenager, went off to an atheistic university. And the boy was exposed to frustrated, seductive professors that caused him to question his faith in Jesus. Actually stripped him of faith in Jesus. The boy went home for a visit after his first year in the university. His dad was a farmer. Grew up on the farm. He said, Dad, we got to have a talk. Come with me. I don't want Mama to hear this. You got to come and you got to talk with me. While they went, they walked, they talked. They came to a majestic white oak tree that sat on the farm. Amen. He said, Dad, let's sit over here under the shade of the oak tree where I can tell you something I don't think you're going to like. They sat underneath the oak tree, and the boy said to his father, he said, Dad, I want you to know I reject Jesus. I don't believe in Him anymore. I don't believe in Jesus anymore. And I need you to know I can't play the game. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I've been taught a higher way at the university. And I want you to know the primary reason that I don't believe anymore is because of the chaos and the confusion just in nature alone. For example, Dad, you're a watermelon farmer. All my life I've raised watermelons with you. From the time I was a little boy, you taught me how to raise watermelons. And those big old watermelons, Dad, some of them, they're pushing 50 pounds. Sitting there on the ground with the skinny little vine supporting them. And if you move the watermelon the wrong way, the vine will fall off and the watermelon will stop growing. Now what's up with that? Look at this oak tree we're sitting under, Dad. It's huge and strong. Majestic. And it supports these little teensy acorns. What's up with that, Dad? If I was God, I'd put the acorns on the frail little watermelon vines where they won't break off. And I'd have the majestic oaks supporting the 50-pound watermelons. That alone right there is enough to make you not believe in Jesus as a creator. He just wouldn't have done that, Dad. He finished his little speech, and just then an acorn fell and bounced off his head lightly. And his dad looked at him and said, you can thank Jesus that wasn't a 50-pound watermelon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows what He's doing. God knows better than we do what He's doing. God doesn't owe us an explanation. Amen? Listen, I don't want to talk about I don't want to take time to toil over the trivial question as to whether God exists or not. We believe He exists. I want to take the rest of the time that we have this morning to talk about why did God create you. So if you'll go to Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4 in your Bible, we're going to talk about, just briefly, why God created you. You know, for me, briefly isn't briefly for somebody else. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm talking my briefly, my standard of measure, not someone else's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's thinking, that sounds like a threat. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 4. We're talking this morning about why God created you. The first reason God created you is for His pleasure. God created you for His good pleasure. Now, if you can't get to these references quick enough, that's okay. You write them down, and you can look at them later in your Bible. Amen. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. See, we're going to begin here. The 24 elders had just thrown their crowns at the feet of Jesus to worship Him. And look what they cried out in verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, as we just read in Colossians chapter 1, and for Thy pleasure, excuse me, for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Now that word pleasure means desire and determination. The 24 elders fell at Jesus' feet, threw their golden crowns at His feet, and said, You've created all things, Jesus, and for Your desire and Your determination, they are and were created. Listen, you were created for one primary purpose. I said you and I were created for one primary purpose, and that's to be a source of pleasure to Jesus and to the Father. Did you get that? That's the primary reason He created you, to be a source of pleasure to His life. You have power to affect God. You actually have power to affect God. You can please Him or you can displease Him. And the only way you're going to find out what it takes to please God is to crack open this book, like we do around here twice a week, and I'm sure you do at home, and find out what it is that pleases Him. This is God's personal profile. You see what I'm holding up here? It's not the Quran. It's not Reader's Digest. It's not some little prayer book that God didn't write. This is God's book. This is His personal profile. And in this book, this tremendous revelation as to what pleases Him and what displeases Him. Amen? You have power to please God. You have power to affect God. You have power to move God. To please Him or to displease Him. Amen? Do you believe that today? What pleases God? You getting saved, number one, and not going to hell pleases God. That's a biggie. Amen? God would be displeased. He's displeased by anybody who goes to hell. God never sent anybody to hell. People go to hell every day, but God doesn't send them. They send themselves by rejecting Jesus, His means of escape. Amen? Evangelization, that pleases God. You want to please God? Tell somebody about Jesus. Ask God, send somebody to me who needs to hear about Jesus. I don't want to just go to the mall and hit people one after another and just keep getting shot down. Lead me to people who need Him. I'll talk about Him. That pleases God. Prayer pleases God. Tithing pleases God. Blessing Israel pleases God. You have the ability to please God. You were created for His good pleasure. When we do all of these things, when we praise Him, we bless Israel, we pray, we evangelize. He's not just sitting there picking His nose thinking, and it's a good thing you do, because if you don't, I'll kill you. He's pleased by that. It touches His heart. It gives Him great pleasure, and that's the primary reason we were created, to please Him. Amen? We need to just get into the Word, find out everything we can about what pleases Him, and lay into it. Amen? Hallelujah. So there you go. We won't spend any more time on that. Amen? Well, I think I will spend a little bit more time on that. The number one thing that pleases God, can I have a volunteer, please? There's one thing. It said, the Bible says, without it, it's impossible. What is it? Who said that? Faith, Helen. The Bible says, without faith, It's impossible to please God. For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that he exists, but that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to believe as strongly that God wants to reward us as we do that he exists. Yeah. Right over somebody's head. That bounced back. I got it. Throw it back out. We need to believe. It's like racquetball up here sometimes. Amen? Hallelujah. Here it comes again. We need to believe as strongly that he's a rewarder as we do that he exists, if we want to please him. Some people have the belief in that he exists part down, but they'd never know that he would reward me. I would know. I'd never. That's false humility, to not believe God wants to reward you. If he says we must believe as strongly in his rewarding power as we do in his existence, we better obey him. We better obey him. Amen? Faith pleases God. We were created to give him pleasure. Let me just do something here right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke the spirit of Satan in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit. If this doesn't apply to you, let it roll right off your back like water off a duck's back, like water off the Blue Jays' back that we've been watching in the rain out the window lately. It just rolls right off. Amen? If it's not you, it's not you. Don't take offense. Unbelief, go. Satan, go. Demonic principalities and powers, go! Lethargy, sleepiness, go! In Jesus' name, you'll not hinder the gospel from being preached or received in this place today. It is so, because I say it is so. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 I need to preach a sermon sometime based upon something my mother used to say to me all the time. Because I said so! Why? Because I said so! That's what we need to tell the devil. Because I said so. Amen? So without faith, it's impossible to please God. The number one reason you were created was for God's pleasure. Amen? Hallelujah. Stop pleasing God. God will start pleasing you. That's the second reason you were created, by the way. For God to please you. Second reason you were created was for God to give you pleasure. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 really quick in your Bible here today. How's the temperature in here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John's a pretty good gauge. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 28. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to get acquainted with Deuteronomy 28. Amen. If you want to see what pleases God, the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, 14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You're going to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Amen. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. Pastor, you say this all the time. I always will, too. I always will. The more I say it, the deeper it goes into you. The greater you get revelation, the more effective it's going to be in your life. I know what I'm doing. Amen? Don't tell me how to do my job. Stop telling me how to do my job! But, Pastor, I didn't. But you're thinking it. Amen. You're not allowed to think thoughts against the pastor in here. Amen? That's a rule of the house. Amen? I do it on purpose because repetition is the key to good teaching. Amen? That's how I learned. By going, that's how I learned. I wasn't born knowing this, and I don't know hardly anything that's in there. But I know what I know through repetition. I'll go back over the same verses of Scripture and same chapters and same subjects and same topics over and over and over again. That's how I get it down in my spirit. Amen. Faith comes how? By hearing. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. Christ has redeemed us from the curses that are over here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We don't want to read the curses today, though. We want to see the blessings of obedience here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. These are things that God wants to do for you for obeying him. I told you, number one, you're created for his good pleasure. Number two, you're created so God can please you. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28, look right here, it says, and I'm going to say it again. If you haven't acquainted yourself with Deuteronomy 28, you need to do so as a believer. Amen? Amen. It shall come to pass, in verse 1 of 28, you there? It shall come to pass, if, please say if. If. Say it again. 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 If. If. You know that word if? No more reading. Everybody look up here. That word is used 1,595 times in the Bible. 1,595 times in the Bible. And practically every single time that that word if is used, let me get my figures right here, 1,595 times, yep. Almost every single time it's expressing a need to meet a condition in order for God to bless you. Almost every one of those 1,595 times is expressing a need for you and me to meet a condition so that God can bless us. There are no unconditional blessings in Scripture. You want something from God, you got to do something first. Amen? Did you hear me? If someone told me recently, I don't believe that. I believe the name of Jesus has power in it, and it doesn't matter how we live or what we do, when we use the name of Jesus, it should just work for us. That's a pipe dream. That person's living in the land of Tra-la-li, right here in the middle of Cape Cod. None of the promises are conditional. Jesus' name isn't a magic wand. The Holy Spirit isn't magic dust. Amen? There's laws of sowing and reaping. And look right here. He said if. Amen? Pastor, you're loud this morning. So what's no? Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all the commandments which I command thee this day. Look what God said. If you please me, look what I'll do for you. The Lord thy God, I'll set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. I'll chase you down for pleasing God. Amen. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Look at right here. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field or in the country. So if you aren't in the city, you're in the country. If you aren't in the country, you're in the city. Amen? That's a big blessing. That's a big promise. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind. Bless your animals. Amen? We're not all farmers, but some still are, in the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket in thy store. Today that be your bank account. Amen? Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Listen, if you're not outside, you're inside. If you're not inside, you're outside. Someone said to me, you're not an environmentalist. I don't like this Christianity stuff. You don't care about the great outdoors. And I said, of course I care about the great outdoors. If I'm not indoors, that's where you'll find me. I already told you that one. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord shall cause the enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. Woo! They shall come out against thee one way. Your enemies will flee from you seven different directions. The Lord shall command the blessing. Say the blessing. The blessing. See, that's what we believe in this year, 2008, for the fullness of the blessing. Amen? This is talking about the blessing of Abraham. You're going to want to know what I'm going to say right here in this verse, so you don't want to read into verse 9. You'll miss something really good here. Amen? Where he said, he shall command the blessing upon you. That word command actually means he'll send a messenger, whether it's angelic or human, to bless you. That's what that word command means. It's called the commanded blessing of Scripture. God said, if you obey me, if I have to send an angel to bless you, I'll do it. I will use angels, I will use men, give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over with the same measure that you give. Man shall give into your bosom. In Luke 6:38, Jesus was talking about the commanded blessing of Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. I'm so excited I could pass out. But I won't. Hallelujah. I'll keep passing out the word. Hallelujah. The Lord shall command the blessing. You know what that word blessing means? Too much. That's what it says when you look it up. I will cause angels or men to come to you and give you too much. He's the God of too much. Who in the world? I know where it came from, the devil, this wrath of God lie, that God is wrath, and God's the source of all your problems. Amen. You read the Bible, you find out God's not the source of your problems, He's the source of your blessings, but it comes through obedience. He created you to please Himself, and He created you to be a blessing to you, so He could please you in turn. The Lord shall command angels and men to come and give you too much. in the storehouses, and in all that thy set thy hand to, and he shall bless thee. But you got to believe it. Well, how come I haven't seen it happen before? I don't know, probably because of your attitude. Change your attitude. Say, Lord, I believe in the commanded blessing, the fullness of the blessing, in Jesus' name. Here I am, Lord. He didn't hear that. Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Bless me.
Bless me.
Because
I believe
in Jesus' strong name. He'll bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself as he sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep thy commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord. They'll see how blessed you are in the power that rests upon you, and they'll be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Plenteous in goods. Too much. Too many goods in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the cattle, the fruit of thy ground, the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season. Now, you're not farmers, but this is an expression of prosperity. Amen. He'll get it to you. It'll pour from heaven one way or another. He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out such abundance of blessing, you'll have to make room. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, you gave me two lungs and not one. Thank you, Jesus, you gave me. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You gave me two lungs, not just one. Hallelujah. Because I'm not a one-lunger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be. If I could find Scripture, I'd believe him for four. Hallelujah. And to bless all the work of thine hand. He promises to bless everything you put your hand to. He doesn't want you working in vain. You shall lend unto many nations and shall not borrow. Somebody said it's a sin to borrow. Well, God said he'll put you in a position to where people can borrow from you. So why would it be a sin? You just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's all. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Oh, aren't you tired of being the tail and not the head? Amen? You can be above, not beneath. If, that's the third time we encountered one of those 1,595 references to if in the Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. If you hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do, and thou shalt not set aside or go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. And if you do, just repent, plead the blood, he'll forgive you, and go on to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the... I'm not reading that. We're not going there. Amen. We'll stop at the blessings. Amen. Verse 1 through 14 of Deuteronomy 28 is the blessings. Amen. 15 through 68 is the curses. We don't need to read the curses. We're his obedient children. Amen. We are a source of pleasure to God, and God is determined to be a source of pleasure and abundance to us. Do you believe that? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. God doesn't want a king-peasant relationship. Amen. That's what religion teaches, that he wants a king-peasant relationship. Amen. The Bible teaches that God wants a father-son, father-daughter, father-parent-child relationship, not a king-peasant relationship. Get anything out of this today? Just listen, there's a cord somehow connected between you and God. When you please him up that cord, back down that cord will come a blessing into your life. Amen. You please God, God will please you. Don't please God? Well, he won't stop loving you. But you'll begin to feel what he feels. Grief. Sorrow. Displeasure. Discomfort. You cut yourself off. Amen? He won't punish you. He's not a punitive God. Let's not even go there. Amen? We're God pleasers around here, aren't we? We're in obedience. Full-time obedience. Not part-time obedience. Part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. We please God all the time, don't we? And we repent when we blow it. We repent and we blow it. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Want to see a little video behind the scenes with Pastor John? Oh, God, forgive me. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood. In Jesus' name, I blew it. I should have handled that better. The blood is sufficient. I received my forgiveness. Now I'm walking it out in Jesus' name. No condemnation from no lying devil. Amen. Play that video back and forth over in your mind 3 or 4 times a day. You'll see what the pastor's up to behind the scenes. Amen. Oh God, forgive. I get down on my knee. I humble myself before Him in Jesus' name. That was, I'll get that right next time. Yes, sir, I see it. I see it. I shouldn't have spoken to her that way. That was wrong. Now, Barbara, you forgive me in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you have forgiven me. I hold the blood up to it. The blood is sufficient. I'm going on. He said to me one day, a number of years ago, oh, I was in such condemnation about something stupid I did. I didn't commit adultery. I've not committed adultery. I've been faithful in my marriage. My wife's never committed adultery. We've both been faithful. It wasn't anything like that. It was just something stupid. Just something dumb. Something very human. And I was receiving horrible condemnation over it. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I have forgiven you. Now walk it out. Oh, that helped me. I got up and I started walking out. I just started pretending I was forgiven. I knew that I was, but I just started acting like it. Walk it out. Amen. He said to me, walk it out. Ooh, that burden lifted. Hallelujah. 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 Behind the scenes with Pastor John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, let me just read it to you, verse 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him. Hallelujah. That's where I need 2 more lungs, Lord, help me. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Yeah. It's not pleasing when we blow it. If you pay attention up here, please. It's difficult when I'm trying to talk up here and you're trying to talk back there. It's a little distracting for me. Amen. Are you hearing me up here? It's difficult for me when you're talking and I'm preaching. We're in such a small room. Amen. It's a distraction to me. Then I got to find my way back. Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you. You said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. It's not pleasing when we sin, but it's pleasing when we repent. Amen? That's one of the things that gives Him pleasure, when we repent. When we keep His commandments, keeping His commandments, one commandment we can keep when we're wrong is to repent. That's keeping His commandments. That gives Him great pleasure. Amen? That's one thing you can do when you're off base. Don't receive condemnation of the devil when you've done something wrong. Keep the commandment of God and do something that's pleasing in His sight by repenting and receiving forgiveness in the blood. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm allowing my oxygen level to... No, I'm not. I'm just teasing. When you preach like that in the flesh, it'll kill you. But when you do it by the anointing of God, hallelujah. No sore throat, no nothing. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, God wants you to know today that He created you for His good pleasure. Number 2, He created you to please you, to be a blessing to you. And do you know that your strongest desires are probably His will for your life? Lord, you help me as I go off into this now, in Jesus' name. You want to write this down. Your strongest desires reveal God's will or God's call upon you. You write that down. Your strongest desires. Oh God, how do I know what to do? Listen on the inside. Listen on the inside. Amen. Your strongest desire. You can trust. If you're born again, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and He lives inside of you through the agency of the Holy Spirit, you can trust your strongest desires in life as being the will of God for you. As long as they're scriptural, oh, I really desire to commit adultery. Well, that's not God. As long as they're legal, whoo, I'm just overwhelmed with the desire to rob that bank and meet my own financial needs. That's illegal. Amen? As long as your desires are moral, legal, and scriptural, biblically based, you can trust them. Your strongest desires in life reveal the will of God and the call of God on your life. What would you be doing right now if you knew it was impossible to fail? Listen on the inside. What would you be doing? What would you like to do? What do you think the Holy Spirit would have you to do if it was impossible for you to fail? What would you be doing right now? As long as it's legal, as long as it's moral, as long as it's scriptural, it's what God probably wants you to do. Amen? Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking, if I could do anything and not fail at it, now listen, I'm talking dreams here, not pipe dreams. I'm not talking about the guy who wants to open up a laser advertising agency on planet Earth to shoot ads up on the moon. That's pipe dreaming. There's a guy who's wanting to do that. He wants to flash advertisements on the face of the moon with a laser beam. He wants people to pay him money to do that. That's a pipe dream. I'm talking reality. I'm talking scripturally based. I'm talking legal. I'm talking moral. What would you do? What would you do if you could do anything that's in your heart and you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do? Well, Pastor, what I'm thinking of is it would just be impossible. You know, usually what God's drawing you into is impossible for you to do alone. I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God this morning, as usual. I came in here prayed up, worded up, ready to talk to you by the Holy Spirit. If you are drawn, impressed to do something in life that won't take God's help for you to do it, it's probably not Him. Most of the things God calls us to do in life, we cannot do without Him. The bigger things He calls us to do in life, we cannot do without His help. It would take a miracle for us to do it. Then that's the Lord. Did you hear that? If your greatest desire in life is to do something that won't take God's help, that's not His greatest desire for you. Did you hear that? What God's calling you to, doesn't matter how old you are, how long you lived. Glory. Hallelujah. Whatever it is He's telling anyone within the sound of my voice right now to do is something you can't do without Him. Some people, the biggest grand slam they ever think about is two eggs, two sausage, two bacon, two pancakes at Denny's. It's the biggest grand slam they ever think about. Did you hear that? God wants you to hit a grand slam in life. Your greatest desires in life reveal what He's called you to do. What do you want to do? You want to sell insurance? You want to be a mother? What do you want to do? You want to teach the Bible? What do you want? What's in your heart? What's God putting in your heart to do? God wants to put you in position. And you want to work in the church? You want to see this church grow? And you have a full-time or a part-time position? What's God putting in your heart? What's in your heart? Whatever your strongest desire is God's strongest desire for you. Amen? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, you get the reference and can look at it later. Whatever God has gifted us to do, He gives us the grace to do it. And that word grace means God's ability in you to do the things you could never do without Him. God's ability in you to do the things you could never do without Him. Whatever He's gifted you to do, whatever your strongest desire in life is, I'm going to say it again. Doesn't matter how old you are, it is not too late. Whatever your strongest desire in life has been, whatever it is, He will grace you to accomplish it if only you will believe. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. He'll grace you. We have gifts that differ, and with our differing gifts, He gives us grace according to measure. He gives us grace. I'm trying to pull something up out of my spirit here. I'm trying to pull something up out of my spirit this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. You help me. You pull on me. Pull on me. Expect God to continue to speak through me. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. pull on the office of the teacher. Expect God to continue to speak to you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Help me. Help me. Sike peruko sekimana setiki parushitege. Kambarando e peredeki sike prageste. Okay, here it is. Hasoku prage. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. Said you're not an accident. Se peroge de sike porodoshitege mano kasete. You're not an accident. Ooh, you dumb devil. You stupid devil. Hama no kiseki, you're not an accident. It doesn't matter how you were conceived. You could be conceived through an act of rape. God gave you life. Did you hear me? You may have been conceived out of wedlock as an act of fornication. Doesn't make any difference. God gave you life. Through the laws of regeneration, as only God can do, when that sperm and that seed, this is what the Spirit of God is telling me to say, I'm going to say it. When that sperm and that egg came together, Satan didn't give you life. Satan doesn't have the capacity to give life. Only God can give life. It doesn't matter how you were conceived. It only matters that you're here and that God gave you life. James Robison, how do you say it? Robinson? Robison. James Robison, the American evangelist. Do you realize that he has preached to more living human beings than any human being in history? More than Billy Graham? James? Did you know that? This new life on Christian TV? He has preached the gospel. He's been holding massive evangelistic crusades since he was 18 years old. When he was a teenager, he was drawing in greater crowds than men twice and three times his age. He has literally preached to more people, James Robison, the American evangelist, to more people than anybody in human history. Anybody. And he was conceived when a man his mother was working for raped her. And tell me your life doesn't matter because of the way you were conceived. Through an act of adultery, fornication, incest, rape. That doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is that you're here. He gave you life. Amen? And there's something in this earth that He needs to be done that only you can do because He gifted only you to do it. Amen? I'm talking by the Spirit of God to somebody here this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. You just work with me up here. Amen? Yes. Okay, Psalm 139. Here's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. You are a divine creation designed for something very specific. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Siki pero da, siki pero di shitege. I'm speaking in other tongues. It's a spiritual language. God gives us the ability to do such a thing. Look right here in Psalm 139. We don't have much more time here this morning. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's just pick it up. I said you are a design creation of God created for something very specific. You are a divine creation of God designed for something very specific. Are you in Psalm 139? While you're in Psalm 139, you just sit there, don't read it. And listen as I quote to you. Jeremiah 1:5. The Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I knew you. Life doesn't begin in the womb. Somebody said, well, you know, all this crap about abortion. But the baby's not a baby till you get air in the thing. Where does life begin? Outside of the womb? Inside of the womb? No, life begins before the womb. In the mind of God. You are an established fact in the mind of God long before He ever put you in your mother's womb. He said to Jeremiah, He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the belly, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before you were even in the womb, God knew you. And he sanctified you for an express purpose on the earth. That's why you're here. That's why you're in this church. That's why you're in this room this morning. It's part of plan A. And it doesn't make any difference any more how you were conceived than it makes any difference what kind of a car you came in today. Amen? God doesn't like you any more if you came in a BMW than if you came in a Cadillac. Amen? He loves you. Amen? And he's not nearly as concerned. Now, rape is wrong. Incest is wrong. Fornication is wrong. Adultery is wrong. God didn't do any of that. But he knew you were going to be born that way. And he still decided that's the avenue, the birth canal you're going to come down through. And when you got here, he still had a plan and a purpose for you. See, you've got to get all that behind you because it's all behind God. Amen? Doesn't matter to God. You need to let it go. Just let it go. Talking to you by the Spirit of God. I'm going to read to you right here, Psalm 139. Hallelujah. Where do we go? Say, Pastor, you're doing better than you think. Verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to God. For thou hast possessed my reins. It actually says, thou hast created my kidneys. The Hebrews believed that in the womb, an embryo, the kidney is the first thing to be formed, the very first thing. So what's being expressed here is that God created me right from the outset. You've covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It actually says, I am fearfully and wonderfully embroidered. That's what it says. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Amen. Don't we know well what a marvelous God He is and a Creator. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That's a reference to the womb, down low in your mother's belly. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written before I was even born, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You're in God's book before you were even in the womb. Book first, womb second. Amen. He booked the womb for you. Hallelujah. Okay. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Oh, Dennis, you don't know how God thinks of you. How often He thinks of you all throughout the day. He's just thinking of ways, how can I bless him? How can I get him in position to where I can help him? Amen? Hallelujah. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count your thoughts about me, they're more in number than the sand. Woo! When I awake, I'm still with thee. You might go to sleep at night, but he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, he stays up all night thinking about you. Amen? Now, that's hard for your mind to understand. You've got to take it by faith. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that He exists, but that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible. You've got to believe this. He thinks about you all the time. How can He think about me all the time and have all these others that He thinks about? How can that? That's not possible. It's not humanly possible, but He's not a human. Jesus is. This is talking about the Father. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He can think about you all the time and 6 million others if He chooses to. He can do it. Amen? What do you think the idea for computers? A computer can do it. The idea for computers came right out of the mind of God. He says His thoughts towards you are more than the sands of the sea. You know what Barbara said to me one day? You know what Barbara said to me one day? Now, I don't appreciate God giving her this revelation and not me. Because it's a whopper. Because it's a whopper. It must have been to keep me humble. She said, you know, computers can do that. His thoughts are more numerous than the sands of the sea. You know where silicon comes from to put in a computer chip that gives the computer the memory that it has? Sand. Sand! Sand! And God said, my thoughts to you are more numerous than the sand of the sea. Somehow there's a connection there. That's how a computer can have such a huge memory from silicone made out of sand. And God said, my thoughts are more than the sands on the sea. Anyway, the revelation for computer technology came right out of the mind of God. Now everything that God creates, everything, every creation, every inspired idea that God gives to man, the devil takes it and perverts it. But that's, I mean, a computer can be used for perversion just like anything else. But that doesn't mean it didn't come from God or He doesn't want us to use them. Amen? For the advancement of His kingdom. Amen? So it doesn't matter how you got here. Hallelujah. That may seem like a rabbit trail, but it's not. I was telling you that your strongest desires are the will of God for your life. What would you be doing right now if it was not possible for you to fail? What would you be doing? I know for me, the thing that I would want to do the most if it was impossible for me to fail, my strongest desire, if I could do anything I wanted in the world and it was impossible for me to fail, you know what I would do? I would preach the gospel. I would teach the gospel because that's my greatest, my strongest desire. God put that in me. I can't get away from it. It's like a migrating bird. I just keep getting pulled towards it. The more I pray in tongues, the more I stay in the Word, the more I just keep getting pulled over here to preach it. Rather demonstrative, I know. Amen? But that's what happens. Birds get pulled north in the summer and south in the winter. It's a migratory thing. It's put in them. It's inbred. It's inbuilt. That's what's in me. What's in you? What do you want to do? If it's legal, moral, and scriptural, it's God. Amen? I'm reminded in closing of a little Irish kid up in Boston. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody get that for me. Hallelujah. 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 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, says that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, He said, I'll walk in you, I'll dwell in you. Jesus said in John chapter 13, John chapter 16, He said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead you and He will guide you into all truth and He'll show you things to come. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. John chapter 14, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and even bring to your remembrance all things that He's taught you. Proverbs chapter 20, 27 says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I'm trying to get at something here. Amen? I'm trying to get at something here. Help me out here. Pull. Use your faith. Pull on me with your faith. God's trying to get something. The Holy Ghost lives in you. Lives in you. Lives in you. Lives in you. And He's going to guide you. Yes, I just got it. He's going to guide you through your spirit. Just came right up. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will bring it up. You just help me bring it up. Here's what the Lord wants me to say to you before I let you go. The Holy Spirit lives in you. In the Old Testament, He promised in the book of Leviticus that He would dwell with those people. He would dwell amongst those people. In the New Testament, He said, I'll dwell in you, not amongst you. The Holy Ghost lives in you. He's going to guide you from the inside. Guidance doesn't come through your head. Guidance doesn't come through your body. Guidance comes out of your spirit. The spirit of man, Proverbs 20, 27, is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. God's pulling everybody in this room, as I illustrated, through your spirit to do something for Him. He's doing it by your spirit. Your spirit. Listen, reason is the voice of the soul, the mind. Reason. Reason. God doesn't live in the reason realm. This is what's coming out of my spirit for you now. Feelings are the voice of the flesh. God doesn't live in the flesh realm. The inner witness of the Holy Spirit. That red light, that green light, that inner prompting, that inner urging, that desire to do something. He keeps saying, do this, go here, do this, go here, do that. That's the Holy Spirit. We override that too often. We go with the voice of reason. Oh, but I could never do that. I could never do that. I could never manage that company. I could never buy that. I could never afford that. I can't do that. I can't go. That's the voice of reason. God doesn't guide through the reason realm. When God guides through the Spirit, God provides. When God guides, God provides. He doesn't guide through the voice of reason. He doesn't guide through the flesh, whether your flesh wants to do something or is comfortable with something or not. He guides you through your spirit. He lives in your spirit. He lives in your spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, a mind, and you live in a body. But He doesn't guide you through your mind. He doesn't guide you through your body. He guides through your spirit. Your spirit. And I'm to get this over to you now. I'm to get this over to you. He's guiding you through your spirit. Your spirit. Your spirit. Your spirit. Your spirit. He's a spirit. Jesus said, God is a spirit. You're created in His image and in His likeness. You're a spirit. He's trying to talk to people in this room. Oh, I'm going to take it there. I'm going to go further. I'm going to go further. I'm going to go further. Pull on me. Pull on me. Pull on me because I'm going into a higher office right now. Don't talk. Don't look around. I'm going up there. I'm going up there now. I stepped up, you see. 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 I stepped up now. See, I know it, and I got to tell you because you don't know it, you see. But now you know it. Now you stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Someone's going to go out this room and die if you don't stop doing what God's been telling you to stop doing. If you don't listen to Him, you're going to die prematurely. Someone in this room. Yeah. I hear it, God, but do they? Lord, help them. Help them to receive it, Father. Someone's going to go out of this room and die if you keep disobeying Him in a certain area. Do you hear me? Yeah. He's telling you in your spirit to not do something. In your spirit. And in your head, you're saying, but if I do it, I'll gain this and I'll acquire this. And no. The Lord's saying, if you go that way, if you follow the voice of reason, if you follow the voice of the flesh and the desires of your flesh, and you go that way, crosswise and contrary to what I'm telling you in your spirit not to do, you'll die prematurely. You'll die prematurely. Now, God's not trying to scare anybody. He's trying to help somebody. It's like a plug in my spirit that needed to come out. Hallelujah. Just don't do it, that's all. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't do that thing you've been battling about. Your head's been telling you to do it. Your circumstances are saying, certainly we need the profit and the gain that will come from it. But your belly, down in here, down by your belly button. Now, are you paying attention? There's a scratching down in the spirit down here. And you're knowing, every time you decide to do it, down in here, something's telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. So that's the primary way He guides. And He's telling you. And now you've not been listening. You've been making decisions contrary to that scratching, contrary to that red light down here in your belly, behind your belly button. You decided you're going to do it anyway. And now He's having me speak to you today to tell you it will result in your early demise if you disobey what you've been knowing all along. And what He's telling you out of my spirit here today. You see, this is how the gifts of the Spirit operate. If you won't listen to the Word, if you won't listen to the voice of conscience, if you won't listen to your spirit, He'll have somebody address you. And I'm addressing you by His Spirit today. Hallelujah. 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 I was telling you about the little Irish boy from Boston. Mo sebi riki de shitego. I trust you listen to that, whoever you are. I trust you listen to it, whoever you are. You were going to do something. And I'll put it to you in layman's terms. Your gut's been telling you don't do it. Listen to your gut. Listen to your gut, not your head. The world calls that intuition, gut instinct. Listen to it. It's the Holy Spirit. You don't want to die prematurely. Amen? The little Irish boy up in Boston, he was determined. He's in the eighth grade. He's great with American history. Hallelujah, I can do this. It's a good way to close on a good note. Amen. Even if we closed on that word, it's a good note if you'll obey it. That happens to me. Doesn't that happen to me? Not usually in a service like this. How many individuals do you believe God has sent me to tell them you're about to face a tragedy or you're going to die if you don't listen to what the Lord's telling me to tell you right now? You just... At least 20. Barbara went over the records the other day. At least 20. You're going to face a tragedy or you're going to die. How many people have faced tragedies of the 20? Horrible tragedies. More than half of those 20? Okay, more than 10. Just like the Lord told me, of the remaining 10 that I told you're going to die, how many told you're going to die? How many died? Six out of 10 have died. 10 out of 20 have faced tragedies. That's not a bad record. It's not a good record. But it's not a bad record. 16 of the 20 have faced tragedy or death because they wouldn't listen to the word of the Lord. Somebody in this room, your head's telling you to do something, and gut instinct is telling you don't do it, and the Lord's telling me to tell you you're going to die prematurely. If you override gut instinct, you're headed for a tragedy. And the tragedy is premature death. The little Irish boy up in Boston. Eighth grade. Hallelujah. You know, going in and out of these two dimensions isn't easy. So I need to just tell you that. Amen? I just went somewhere else. You didn't come with me. But I'm back. You with me now? Hallelujah. He determined. He knew he was just good in American history. He decided, I'm going to be an American history teacher, and I'm going to be the best one that there ever was. I'm going to teach American history. That's what I want to do. Amen. Growing up in an Irish neighborhood in Boston. And he just determined he's going to dig in. He made this decision in the eighth grade. I'm going to be the best American history teacher that there ever was. Well, having made that decision, he came home one day, and his dad said, "Got good news, everybody. We're moving to Mexico City." The kid was devastated. Mexico City. How am I going to study American history? I'm going into high school in the ninth grade. I'm not going to study American history in Mexico City. He was completely devastated. There goes his plans for life. Hallelujah. Listen up, I'm telling you this on purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 I just want to make sure I'm going the right way. Hallelujah. 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 Pray quietly in the Spirit if you would. If there's more, I don't want to miss it. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm just going to tell you what the Lord just said in my spirit. And don't talk, please, okay? Please don't talk. Please don't talk. Hallelujah. He said to me, tell him again and go on. Tell them again and go on. He said, tell him again and go on. Tell him again and go on. Your head's telling you to do something. Your gut's telling you, don't do it. If you go with your head and not gut instinct, you are going to die prematurely. Now I did it, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So this Irish kid, Mexico City, great. What in the world am I going to do in Mexico City. I want to study American history. Well, he gets to Mexico City, and lo and behold, he discovers he's got a class on Tuesday and Thursday on American history. And he thought, whoa, there's my chance to shine. So he just hit the books Tuesday and Thursday. He said, what are these Mexican kids going to know about American history? I'm going to shine in this class, baby. 2 months into the class, the teacher pops up with an oral exam. She says, everybody closes. This is in the American history class that he's taken for 2 months now on Tuesday and Thursday. And he's all ready to dig in. She, close your books. A closed book pop exam. Pop quiz right now in American history. Sits up straight in his chair. He's ready to go. He's all good to go. The teacher says, okay, who said give me liberty or give me death? Hector Rodriguez jumped up and said, Patrick Henry, 1776. And the teacher just praised him. She said, that's right, Hector. Very good. You've been paying attention. The Irish kid was devastated. It's like, he's not supposed to know that. That's my fellow countryman. So he just sits there and he just braces himself. He says, I'll get it next time around. Amen. The teacher says, okay, who's the father of American history? Juanita Lopez opens her mouth. George Washington, first president of the United States, served 2 terms, 1789 to 1797. The Irish kid from Boston's like, what? You're not supposed to know that. What in the world? Tears are running down his eyes. He was going to shine. Teacher asks another question. Who said ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country? Juanita Lopez, she jumps up and she says, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, 1961, inaugural address. Everybody in the class just starts clapping for her. And he's just sitting there. He's angry now. He's like, my Lord, this is my specialty. And these Mexican kids are blowing me out of the water. And the teacher's praising these Mexican kids on American history. I didn't even stand a chance. He put his head down on his desk and he said, in frustration and anger, he said, I am so sick of Mexican people. And the teacher turned around and said, who said that? And he said, David Cork at the Alamo, March 6, 1836. Woo! The kid was committed. He was determined. He's going to excel. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. Why did I say that? Because I just want to encourage you. Be as committed and determined to do what's coming out of your spirit by the Holy Spirit as that kid was determined to excel in American history. Some Christians remind me of the kamikaze pilot who flew 200 missions. There's no commitment. No commitment. Hallelujah. We're talking about why Jesus created us here today. We went in so many different directions, didn't we? Hallelujah. But it was good, wasn't it? Let's stand up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Joy is good. Hallelujah. Just let the man go. Let God deal with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what was imparted here today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Revelation of your word, Father God. Knowledge of American history. Oh, Father, Lord, you said in your word in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, by much slothfulness the building will decay, and through idleness of the hands the house will drop through. Father, we are committed to raise up this church by your Spirit and to play whatever part you want us to play in it, in Jesus' name, God. Father, I'm asking you, I'm going to go through and I'm just going to touch you lightly, and something will come to you into your spirit by the Holy Spirit. In impartation, if you'll receive it, Father, make it clear what it is you want her to do. Make it clear what it is you want him to do in this church and out of this church. What it is you want him to do in this church and out of this church. Make it clear to Dennis, Father, what you want him to do within these walls and outside of these walls. Father, in Jesus' name, show Maurice the greater part he's to play. And Barbara as well, Father. Impartation now by the laying on of hands, God. Begin to draw and pull them in those areas stronger than they've ever been pulled in their lives. Impartation, a supernatural knowing what she is to do and what she's not to do. How she's to be involved here, and how she's to be involved in the world outside of this place. In the name of Jesus, greater drawing, greater impartation, stronger knowing. I need you to put your hand over here. Seke, enumo, egebe, erete, sekepe, rote seke peredishte, kambando seke peredeshateke. Now what I was praying was for adjustment there. Father, in Jesus' name, make it clear, by divine impartation, clarity of vision, Father, empowerment to succeed, Father, at what you're calling them to do. In the name of Jesus, let greater commitment rise up. Let greater Holy Ghost strength rise up within them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I decree over you, from this day forth, you'll be pulled even more strongly into the areas that He's calling you to. He has created you for His pleasure, and the greatest thing you do to give Him pleasure is to obey Him. Is to obey His general will for your lives through the written Word of God, and His specific will for your lives through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And I'll say that again before I release you. The greatest pleasure you can give to your Father is to obey. Set yourself, apply yourself to obey His general will, which is expressed in His Word, and apply yourself to His specific will for you as an individual, which comes up out of your spirit man. Don't follow the voice of reason. Don't follow the voice of the flesh. Follow the voice of the Spirit, and you'll be pleasing to Him, and He in turn will be pleasing to you. In